I'm all strapped in here and I'm ready to go. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then, like my dreams, 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 dreams. Hello, hello, test. Then, like my dreams, 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 dreams. Thing, old man, play that. Little dynamics there.
I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then like my dreams, they fade and die.
Hey, Johnny, that's G minor. Turn it out now, you're playing the wrong key. Let's start it all over again, Clem. All right, 1, 2, 3.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
There now, don't you feel better? Didn't that clear the pipes a little bit? Didn't that shake up the ashes a little bit? Look at a few of those clinkers moving around.
I'm forever blow.
Oh, by the way, this is not going to be one of those rotten shepherd singing nights. This is going to be the angry, biting, acidulous shepherd fighting the forces of evil that lie just out there beyond the outer reaches of Staten Island, Queens, Babylon, Darien, Connecticut, Hammond, Indiana, Idaho, Utah, boing, 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 Venezuela, all out there.
I'm forever.
That's enough, that's enough. Hold it, gang. Hold it, gang. Hold it, gang. I suppose a lot of you didn't know that this is an audience participation show. We have a lot of trouble with the audience here. It's the overflow from the Tonight Show. They come in here. They're pretty teed off because they found out it's not television. They can't wave at the crowd. Right, crowd? Right, gang? That's right. Hello, gang. Why don't you stick your tongues out at that whole crowd out there at Staten Island? It comes through in stereo on FM. Very good. There it is. Very sloppy. Oh, what a crowd. Cut it out. Listen, isn't this a lovely little instrument? Listen to this. Getting a little loose there. It's a nice instrument there. Oh yes, tonight, what we're going to do tonight, for those who are, I think we've cleared out the slobs, the ladies and the kids, and what we're going to do here tonight is take a survey in depth of the nuttiness that is rampant in the world. I feel and have felt for a long time that you just don't get the real story from the editorial pages of the Times, or from James Reston, for that matter. And I don't think you really get it from those hard-hitting crash photos on page 3 of the Mirror. Do you think so? I mean, the whole story? Or the UN Charter, for that matter. You mean you read these great, big, high, and mighty things?
We, the assembled mankind, gather together in solemn conclave, do assign and state irrevocably the rules governing the future conduct of the magnificent creature known as man, presented upon this earth to bring civilization, the world, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness to all the animals, squirrels, bugs, and everything else. Yes, gathered as we are upon this great globe, we, struggling mankind, ever reaching upward, onward, for the sky itself, do say and solemnly swear hereunto and therefore, we place our seal of all mankind, of the great Anybody bring the cough drops?
All right, cut it out. That's a nutty thing here. I don't know what's the matter. I think, are you sure you're not playing this program in the wrong speed or something, Walt? What is it? I think it's the look in your eye or something. I don't know what it is. I think you've read too much Lawrence Durrell. I've got the only engineer in captivity in the Western Hemisphere who has read all of Lawrence Durrell, including the Black Book. Oh, yes, tonight we are going to take a survey of the nuttiness that is in the world. So maybe perhaps tomorrow morning when you get a very fast, low screwball thrown at you, and, you know, the first thing you do, you pick up the paper, and there you get belted by one. And you figured it was out of the strike zone. And you can't figure out what happened. Well, the thing is, to, once in a while, to remind us here at WOR as a vast public service, boing, part of the WOR Public Service Enterprises Programming, Inc., has done away with marine recruiting spots between 11:15 and midnight and brings you genuine public service. All right, the way the world is there. Had a little trouble there. I bumped my knee. Well, the first thing we'd like to do, we got to go all over the world. When you're looking at mankind, you just can't look at the guys in Cleveland. You really can't, you know. You just can't look at the guys over there in Staten Island or, you know, the them. You know what I mean by the them? You know, those short guys, angry, tough guys. No, you got to go all over. And in this day and age of tremendous automation and increasing, encroaching, whatever it is, I don't know, it's hard to describe what it is. It's the it. It's the thing we've created. It's the giant rock of Sisyphus. It's the white whale, maybe. What it is, it's turned around. It's coming after us now, I suspect. For about 8,000 years, we've been chasing it with a harpoon, and now it's discovered a harpoon and is chasing us. And just like the white whale, we don't quite understand we're being chased, but we know something's bugging us and is biting us down in the vital somewhere. So everywhere you look, it is happening. Great, great moments are happening. And I've been collecting these things. These are going into my vast trivia file, which I'm going to use as a kind of antidote to the World's Fair time capsule. I'm going to bury mine out here on the 19th floor next to the elevators. I figure that'll last about as long as the time capsule, which is well into next week here at WOR. And I'm willing them all to... I think I'm willing them all to Faye Henley. Faye can put these here in her files of all those guys with the money. And I'm going to put this aside so that we'll have things already and under control. Now, you're a little early here, Ted. What is this? Ted, are you early? You want me to make a station break? And just automatically, when Ted shows up, I make a station break and give a commercial, even when I don't have either one to do. I'm too early, you know. We'll get out. You'll come in here again soon, you know. So I think that tonight we ought to just take an in-depth study of just what man is, what he's doing everywhere. Wouldn't you be interested to know what soreheads are doing every place? Find out how they're working, how it's working out in other countries, huh? Huh? How about, say, for example, now, probably the center of the sorehead world is Germany, probably. There's a crowd, very funny crowd. Let's start out here. We'll begin you. We've got to get our thing here, our Hogan Twanger. All right, all set there.
We're in Berlin there. Police in the West Berlin suburb of Spandau today intensified their search for a character who is obsessed with beautifying his town, as he says. The police have nothing against city beautification. It's the method to which they object. The person they are looking for is a firebug who is burning down eyesores in Spandau. Sorehead. The fire devil of Spandau, as the newspapers have begun to call him, begin his campaign about 2 months ago. Fire, the fire devil of Spandau. So far, he is suspected of setting 25 fires, causing damages estimated at close to $100,000. Investigators said the fire devil of Spandau so far has burnt down old shacks, newspaper stands, and barns, all of them rotten ones. He even has destroyed rotten old cars, which he probably thought belonged to a junkyard and not on the street. He just fired them up. Go out, out. His tools always are the same. A piece of cardboard and a box of matches. Very bad man, you are. The firebug of Spandau. There is no question about it. One detective said, the fire devil of Spandau is out to burn down every eyesore, every rotten thing in Spandau. We have got to get him before he completes his plans. Going, going, going. I think a little of the whang and tang there, the first one there. Give it. And so tonight we salute the terrible devil, the fire devil of Spindau, who is out to bring down all the rotten things there. There you go. See, you're not alone, Dad. Have you ever had the feeling about the Pan Am building? Oh, boy, what a fantastic sight that would be. Oy, oy, oy. Well, speaking of eyesore, this is WORAMMFM New York. You never hear about ear sores. This is WORAM. That's funny how it reminds me. I'll have to make another station break, you know. WOR, this is here. So don't get mad and write to the wrong station. Demand that they be taken off the air. It's us that deserves all the rotten credit for all this. This is WOR here. And we are in... we're in friendly old New York. Yes, oh, don't worry, we'll do that, don't worry. We've got those guys under control. We're a friendly little station here. Your sniggering, snide family station. And, speaking of that, we have here Peter Lynn Hayes and Mary Healy are coming to WOR Radio. Starting Monday, September 30th, you will enjoy Peter and Mary at their delightful best. No, Walt, that's it, at their delightful best. Every Monday morning at 9:15, the Peter Lynn Hayes and Mary Healy Show. Monday through Friday at 9:15 on WOR Radio. And it's American all the way down to the bottom. You're American. Polly and the gang. I certainly think we plugged Peter in. Oh, I broke a string for crying out loud. No, it isn't broken. No, it isn't. I'll have to re-knot that one. Cheap balalaika. It's all right. We can get this restrung. It was just the very thought of the Peter one. Hey. Nothing is worse than a two-string balalaika, friends. Yes, yes. Well, now let's get on with the further investigations of the nuttiness of our time. Well, I'll fix that. Don't worry. I understand scotch tape will do anything. Somehow I like the idea of scotch tape on a balalaika. A Sears Roebuck balalaika. It's much easier to play with only two strings. I find a lot of those strings over in the end are getting away. But we must go on because, as we say, this is part of our vast public service programming. Speaking of vast public service programming, we've come full circle. There's no question about it. I could not believe my old eyeballs. Not at all. One of my favorite things that the New York Times does every year is the New York Times, they have this special section on a Sunday, comes usually in the fall. The New York Times... it's the prediction and a profile of fashions for men everywhere. Very good. This is one of our satisfied men here. Yes, indeed. You notice what he's wearing. It's that little thing there made out of straw. That's the little thing there. It's hooks in the back, snaps there. And it doesn't give much covering, but it's kind of chic there. He will now tell you... going Hoanga Tanger. Well, in the New York Times, this past weekend, I
I found that I didn't get much of a jolt out of reading the theatrical page this time. No pizzazz, and I had the feeling that Taubman was just filling for time there. He was talking about how people write him, and he writes to people, and, you know, you can tell when a guy's sort of idling. He's revving. And the news wasn't much. Merrick hasn't thrown any hand grenades out on Broadway lately. None of this stuff has happened, and Albee hasn't made any startling statements about the state of U.S. drama and the way the world is going everywhere, down, rotten, out the window. And so there wasn't much to say, so I skimmed through that and the sport page. It was a sport page. It kind of had a lot of stuff about horses running back and forth and bumping into each other and stuff of that kind. Guys throwing balls down alleys and guys running cars into one another. So I didn't figure I was getting right to the heart of it. And then finally I picked up the thing there, that big fat thing. It says, a prediction of menswear for this year. And so I looked through there. Of course, that's an interesting collection of men they have. And have you looked at all those guys? That's a very interesting collection. Zay Jack, you never show up in those pages. I don't know what it is. You're too lumpy or something. I don't know. Either that or you're... It's a funny thing there. But they're all a certain kind of man. They collect them made out of farina or something. Got a lot of hair, a lot of teeth, and very skinny guys. And if they're not skinny guys, they got silver hair, and they're standing there with a great big meerschaum pipe and a 12-year-old chick. And they're on their way to the football game, you know. So you see a lot of sociological implications in these predictions of what they do. Well, one of the greatest ones of all that I have filed with my trivia collection, Ed, is an ad for men's shirts. I won't even dare to read it. You just wouldn't believe the copy. It's an ad for men's shirts. Now, remember, this is a book. This is a supplement that is directed towards men and is a prediction of men's clothing of the forthcoming year. It has nothing to do with it. It's for men. Well, there is a collection of men's shirts being modeled by women. You saw that, Eddie? All right, give them a salute. They're all 100% American. Now, bring the whole crowd in there. Bring it all in there. We've come full circle. Oh! Well, that was our straw in the wind department today. I wonder whether when next spring, when they have the prediction of ladies' wear, whether they will have a selection of skirts modeled by carefully selected. Oh! Indeedimon. So we've come full circle, and it's just beginning to get started yet. On the second, I understand on the second circle around, it gets even more exciting. Now, we've got to go over some more of these things that I think to tell a little bit about. I'll send in there. I'm going through the Port Authority bus terminal, and I see one of, I think, another significant sign of the times. And it was an actual sign. It's in the window of a store there. And it says, I've got to get myself in the proper, rich, ripe, deep, resounding voice here.
Seatbelts save lives. New, new, new. St. Christopher Medal for your added protection. Made especially for seatbelts. Easy to attach.
Wonderful gift item. Complete with it. Gift wrappings. Oh, boy. I looked at that when I reeled on past the donut shop there in the general direction of a place where they sell the newspapers. Little realizing, of course, that once again I was seeing the... Oh, you want to see what else is happening in Germany? Everywhere it goes. All set now? We got to get our German music out here again. Once more for some German
Neue Monster Germany, August 31st, United Press International. A wolf escaped from a zoo yesterday in the Neumann Monster. Police quoted zoo officials as saying, and we quote the officials there in the town, he is not dangerous, this wolf. This wolf is not dangerous as long as he is not hungry. I'm dying.
It's going on all right out there. He's not dangerous there unless he's hungry. Well, now I noticed again one of the more nuttier things that are going on in our town, our friend. I don't know whether it's hit your town yet now, but it is it's the new outgrowth or the new upsurge of very polite pool rooms. They don't call them pool rooms. You seen those, Ed? Do they have those in Jersey where you hang out? Very polite pool rooms. And for those of you people who, for the first time in your lives, are beginning to hang around pool rooms, I have a word of advice from an old pool room hanger-arounder, namely me. I have hung around several pool rooms in my past somewhat checkered career. Anybody for snooker? Be careful. If any guy offers to play you snooker, just back away. This guy is not a casual guy from down around the corner there. One of the boys from the agency. And I predict a lot of people are going to find out a lot about the facts of life if they hang around these jazzy, friendly neighborhood cleaned-up pool rooms very long. Because here we have a note from Russia. Everybody thinks that those clean... Have you noticed Life magazine? We're all going to have to start learning to play the balalaika. Did you notice the last issue of Life magazine? Did you ever see a more cuddly, friendly, wonderful, warm, brave, clean, industrious, reverent, solid people in the red? Did you ever see that? Did you see that last issue of Life? That's a straw in the wind, boy. So I'm learning... I threw my guitar away. I got my old balalaika here. I'm ready...
Oyoknem, Muscovites have warned Tuesday to keep away from a city billiard hall controlled by a squad of professional pool players. We want to warn all of you listeners to Radio Moscow. The newspaper Komsomolskaya Pravda said the pros were sitting around drinking vodka and waiting, as we quote here, for fish to come into the hook. It seemed a factory worker who spent 4 hours a night at the billiard hall in Sokolniki Park here in Moscow said he was winning at least 10 rubles a night. Oi, Yaknem! Oi, communist friendly comrade buddy pool shark. Oh, no. Working out there.
So they're having trouble with pool sharks in the workers' paradise. Well, it was ever thus. And whenever you get a guy standing next to that long green table and you give him one of those long sticks that Brunswick Bulky Colander makes so well, and you put him in the near proximity of 15 or so nice round pieces of ivory, and immediately little things begin to dance in his mind, and they ain't all connected with... Let's have fun tonight and play a friendly game of pool. You learn all kinds. So just be careful of that guy that comes sidling up to you out there. Now, I know a lot of you people out in the suburbs are spending evenings in those pool rooms. They don't call them. What do they call them now? They've got a name for them. They do not call them billiard halls. They do not. That's too close to pool hall. They've got to call them something else. Billiard Emporia. Well, I know that they're springing up everywhere. And if they are springing up, guess what can't be far behind? The only change is he's taken off his checkered vest. And he has gone down to Brooks Brothers and bought himself the right kind of suit. And he'll probably come along with a prop chick. You know, with thin cheekbones, high thin cheekbones. It looks like she drinks Pepsi-Cola, you know, sociable type. And I've got a old sale, man. By George, you know, Truckee was going to come down tonight. We're just stuck with an extra queue. How would you like to fall in? It was just a friendly game here, actually. 10 cents a point. We're a rotation. A little slop pool, actually. None of us can actually play. How would you like... Well, the next thing you know, zippers... shoelaces and socks are all you're left with. And be careful, I wouldn't bet on the socks. It's just a thought you ought to know that it's happening everywhere. Now, we're going to go to another area of the world to see how the nuttiness is happening, where it's going. Do any of you know any Swedes? Svenska pojka, huh? Any of you know any Swedes, huh? Yeah, I used to go out with a Swede, you know, this chick, and And I hung around a lot. They're on this Swedish house, and the Swedes are very interesting people. They absorb all the wrong things out of a society. They really do. They have an unerring grasp on the... they vaguely miss the point of the world almost always. And as much as I dig the Swedes, they always kind of do. During the war, every time, they're slightly missing the point, you know, just vaguely, not much, but just a little. Svenska pojka, a bar owner in this tiny town of Visby, Sweden, a community has opened up a Western saloon, American style, in an effort to attract customers. Each night, four men stage a Western brawl. Bang! Thought you kind of like that. They pick up the wrong thing there. And every night at exactly 9 o'clock, the Svenskas start hitting each other in the head with chairs and belting each other with prop bottles. Although, you know, that's not a bad idea. That might go pretty good over on the east side in a couple places I know. You know, looking for a little vicarious excitement. I'm terrible at the Swedish accent, although there was a time when I was pretty good at it, actually. I had old man Anderson fool for years. I had him convinced that since he was from Stockholm, I was from a small place up north near the Lap border where they spoke a very esoteric accent. He says, Svenska pojka. And I would come at Mr. Anderson. And we got along fine, the two of us there, until he discovered I was strictly red cabbage, sweet and sour all the way. Now, while we're on the subject, we might as well just keep up here with the various things that are happening throughout the world. These are all going in my trivia file. How do you think things are happening in hardworking Japan?
Japan. Directive issued today orders City Hall employees to stop working in undershorts and stop playing mahjong and chess during duty hours. Stop working in undershorts, employees. We must clean the mess out in City Hall in Wayakama, Japan. Some citizens have been complaining about being served by very scantily clad workers in City Hall. Other customers of City Hall said some employees refused to take care of them until they finished their very difficult mahjong game. Special report of decadence in Japan, brought to you specially from Japanese radio. Obviously, work of Western oriented workers who have fallen under the influence of cheap rotten rock and roll imported from America. Workers of Wayakama, wake up! Put back on your kimonos and pants and stop playing around in undershorts. Stop playing mahjong during duty hours. Radio Tokyo, once again, bring your special news broadcast from Outlying Province. Stay tuned for Red Hot 4, which follows in your tomorrow.
Cut it out there. So it's breaking out all over. You don't think it's just here with Wagner, do you, for crying out loud? It's everywhere, man. I mean, everywhere. You just can't get out of the way of it. And what do you think is happening, for example, in England? I mean, it's getting out of hand in England, man. We'll have to give you some special English music. That's not bad. Let's try that again. Hello there. Hello. All set now?
My God, good to hear. The continent is still here, and England still goes on. Peterborough, England, June 20th, United Press International. Scamp, a pet rabbit, was taken by its owner to an animal home yesterday for psychiatric treatment. Because this rabbit imitates ducks in a nearby pond and nearly drowns trying to swim.
Oh, no.
Thank God this is not an English rabbit. This is not the rabbits of my boyhood. Hounds galloping over the trails. Englishmen in full cry and pursuit. Hounds swimming like ducks. The world is going to hell and damnation.
All right, that's enough somber, gothic-type music. No, I kind of like the idea of a rabbit jumping in and trying to make like ducks. That's happening everywhere. That reminds me of those chicks in the New York Times advertising the men's shirts. Girls, no matter how hard you try, there's something missing. I ain't going on. this thing going to work. All right, now let's go on to our own particular brand of insanity, which has been, it's really not, I don't think it has anything to do with America, actually. I think we're the spearhead country. Oh, I do. I don't think that, you know, that's one of the areas that they're constantly misinterpreting us, like overseas. They always say, when they look around and they see all kinds of nutty stuff, they see motels everywhere right in the very shadow of the Tower of London, you know, the whole business, and they call it the Tower of London Motel, that kind of thing, or you know, Prince Edward hot dogs, and everywhere it's getting out of hand completely. It's just going right down the drain, and everyone thinks, of course, that it's America. It's rotten old America bringing it around. Well, it's not true at all. America has discovered a lot of principles that were always dormant. I'm sure that given a caveman 400 million years ago, given the choice of a raw clam, freshly removed from the mud, and a hot dog, I don't know which way he'd go, but I have my suspicions. So, it's a sad fact. And it's just always the way it is. You see, I think mankind has always had inside of him a deep, rich, unbelievably verdant load of slobism, a mother load that has not been tapped. Now, America tapped it, that's all, and it's being tapped everywhere. Have you ever watched Japanese entertainment? Oh, boy, if you think Elvis Presley is low down, man, you ought to see the stuff that's coming out of Japan. All Oriental Japanese rock and roller. You all a hound dog. You all hound dog. Oh, you all hound dog. Oh, ring-a-ding-a-ding-ding-ding. And it's just terrible. Nothing is... I don't mind drivel. But when you get imitation drivel, oh, boy, it makes your head spin. It's just bad. I mean, some guys are natural-born slobs, but other guys got to work at it. And the guys that work at it, it just never comes out natural, you know, just terrible. It's even worse. It's some kind. It's like slobism squared. I don't know how, you know. Have you ever seen an elderly gentleman, seriously, an elderly gentleman going to a picnic, and he figures he's going to be hip, and he wears just a little bit the wrong kind of shoes? At the picnic, everybody's running around hitting balls and hollering and swinging. And this guy's got Florsheim white shoes, you know, with black tips. And that's what his idea of being sporty is. And he says, and you know, he becomes almost an unbelievable slob because of that. It's very difficult to try to bring him back into line. Well, that's what you see in these foreign countries everywhere. I remember one day in Dublin, you know, you always, have you seen these Irish things, these ads for Ireland? You get the impression that Ireland is just unbelievably fantastic, you know, all those little people. Sure, and be gonna come in and sit down and have a glass of stout. Have a glass of stout. And, you know, you just have the feeling that that's what's going on. Oh, wowee. I in 1959 or so, I'm going along in a little Humber, and I'm driving past these joints. Have you ever heard Irish rock and roll? It makes, believe me, it makes the Japanese rock and roll sound like Elvis Presley making the scene in Tennessee. If you want to hear something inauthentic, they say, oh, you're an old hound dog. You're an old hound dog, sir. Oh, it's terrible. And their eyes pop out, and they sweat. And somehow their shirts are not just quite right. They have imitation Western shirts that really look terrible. It's just the world's worst stuff. And then one of the greatest scenes I've ever seen, witnessed of this kind of dynamic slobism, is in Amsterdam. Now, Amsterdam, I found a very delightful place, except when they were trying to make the slob scene, which they loved. Oh, just unbelievable. I went into a place there. I was taken into a bar. They told me it was the greatest place in Amsterdam. This is the place. And the guy says, you'll really enjoy this. Yes, you'll really enjoy this. America in the bar. Well, I go to this place, and they had a jukebox. This jukebox is over in the corner, and they didn't know about
volume controls there, apparently, in Amsterdam. They had an idea that the louder it went, the better it was, which is always the sign of a sure slob. He quite vaguely misses the point. Well, this thing was so loud that the cobblestones... You think you've heard your speaker cone rattle. Let me tell you, the whole town was rattling. And this thing is going, and they had a rock and roll band, a Dutch rock and roll... I don't know whether you have ever heard Dutch jazz. It is a cross between a Viennese waltz band and a guy playing a nose flute. And it's about 17 guys playing three-string guitars out of tune. And somebody goes, Well, I says, right out loud. You know, and I was reeling when I got out of that one. And I figured, and of course, the man says, well, a very good time tonight. And I said, yes, it was a good time. Well, I little knowing it, I was making a one-man survey of the world of the slob. And of course, the intellectuals all think that America imported it. No, I don't think so at all. I really don't think at all. You can't import anything to people. Either they dig it or they don't. You know, I'm sorry. Well, one of the greatest places I've seen for this kind of dynamic nuttyism, the true world of the slob, the wifflehead. I went to, of all places, Beirut. You know, you figured that the Oriental culture is still going very good, strong, yeah. Well, I am in the middle of the Beirut insurrection or whatever it was, that revolution they had, you remember, a couple of years ago? And I am sitting, of all places, I am sitting in a bar that was a... Have you ever been in a Sixth Avenue bar? Well, this was a bad copy. It was like the guy had copied it through a very bad picture. And everything was a little bit worse. It was, you know, those terrible pictures they have in the Sixth Avenue bars and the awful-looking chrome? Well, this guy figured that if the Americans, he would do it a little more and it would even be better than the Americans. It was the worst bar I have ever been in my life. And I get in there and this guy, they're beautiful people. You ever saw anything more beautiful than Lebanese? They have great liquid brown eyes, and he is trying to make sounds like a Sixth Avenue hippie. And he says, "You like a hacha bar, eh? You like a hacha bar? We have very fine jukebox there in corner. Has excellent jukebox music, Lebanese jukebox jazz. They're very fine. I'll put one dinar o una in the slot, and we'll play for." It starts coming out. Well, if you can imagine Elvis Presley being played backward with a fantastic cold, and somehow his musicians have all been on a gigantic bender. It was the worst jazz, and he was watching me, see, with a great pride of cultural discovery coming out. you think you bad, we very much better, very much better. And it's going like that, you know, and the joint is rocking, and the chrome is rattling, and the beer bottles are falling off, and they have all this great beer they have over in Europe and all over the Middle East. And with a gigantic flourish, he reaches into the bottom of the freezer, and he pulls out a bottle of genuine American beer, and he pulls it out and lays it down there in front of me for about $9. It is a bottle of the worst beer, the kind of beer that no American would drink unless he was not only 17 miles into his cups, but he was entirely swathed in cheesecloth and had been crawling across the Mojave Desert for 4 years. This beer is the kind of beer, well, there was a terrible word for it, an actual phrase we used to use out in South Chicago that described this beer. I will not burden you with it. And he says, a very good beer. And he takes a drink of it. He says, very good, heady, very heady. I have one on me. And he pours it. Well, so I began to see that they like it, and it is not an American import or an American export. It is just that everyone all around the world has finally loosened his belt. And he's admitting now, let's forget all that jazz, and let's sit down here and watch Cheyenne, man. You know what they did up in Canada? I'll tell you, it's a dirty trick when you pull it on the intellectuals, you see, because culture is generally an abstract. It is hardly ever a reality to most people. And so a reviewer will write long, scathing editorials about how few books are read by people. Of course, he doesn't have time to read himself because he's always writing reviews about how few books are read. That's the truth. I'm not putting you on. Do you know one day the radio editor of a newspaper here in town looked me right in the eye and says, well, of course, I don't have time to ever really listen to the radio. And he's writing this. So up in Canada, they really pulled the plug on it that one of the, I think it was the CBC, they were always getting criticisms all the time from the various guys who wrote columns about why they didn't have more Shakespeare on, why they didn't have more Hogarthian stuff. Why? What about Pirandello? Why aren't we having Pirandello? And they go on and on at poetry readings and stuff. And so finally, they wrote to all these guys, something like 500 of them, and they got a list of all the things they think should be on television. And it was a beautiful list. It was an entire cross-section of Western civilization. There it was. I mean, there was no question about it. It was a resounding program. And so the network decided to do it. And they did. They put all this stuff on, gigantic thing, they put it across. And then they went around and they did the dirtiest, rottenest trick of all. They went to all these 497 guys to find out how many of them were watching. Three of them were sitting there watching. And the problem that the three of them were watching was because they had material that the show was doing. The other 498 were watching Ed Sullivan. And when questioned, they said, well, frankly, old man, I'm writing a review. And all the while, the dog act is running around the Yale marching team, and they've just introduced Albert Schweitzer from the audience, and they're sitting there writing their review, and all the while, Shakespeare is saying, oh, my God, the horse, to the horse, man, out there beyond the next horizon. And it's going on, and culture is booming out. Have you ever noticed that the Times every Sunday has a gigantic convulsion about educational television every Sunday without fail? I just wonder how many guys over there watch educational television. You know, it's one of those great ideals. Can you imagine Jack Gould finally hitting the jackpot? They have 19 hours of educational television every day, and Gould is sitting there taking algebra lessons. You know, somehow I kind of like that warm feeling. And yet I wonder whether he would really like it, whether he would watch it. And so you wonder where it starts, where it begins, where it ends, where it goes. In fact, you know, I believe that the upsweeping of pop art into the world and the taking of minor, almost incomprehensibly bad artists seriously is part of the general loosening of the belt of the world, where even the intellectuals, you see, they can't go all the way and watch wrestling. So they will watch Jack Kerouac wrestle Allen Ginsberg and John Crosby in a wrestling match. And somehow the slob is sitting there reading Mad Magazine, and he's reading Doc Savage. He's watching the cover, you know, of Doc Savage, and he thinks it's great, you know, with a guy stabbing another guy with a big axe and the whole thing of the blood. And if Robert Motherwell paints it, it becomes a painting. Now, then you can appreciate the same thing. It achieves genuine beauty and insight into the great mass culture of today, I guess. By George, it's a lovely thing, actually.
Shrinking Violet is a little girl who's so shy she...